Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Welcome to Vox Novus, the new voice. Through a series of synchronicities and wonderful friends, the practice of Reiki became a spiritual accelerant in my life in the 1990s. This form of energy healing changed my life and perspective in so many ways. In January 2001, I had the privilege of testifying before the White House Commission on Complementary and Alternative Medicine, who were considering the regulation and licensing of Reiki and other energy healing modalities. Those of us who testified convinced them of the efficacy and sincerity of our practices, and they accepted our position. This still left a gap between what we did and acceptance as an adjunct by traditional allopathic medicine. This gap is being bridged by the pioneering work and dedication of my guest this week on Vox Novus, my teacher and my friend, Raven Keyes. Raven Keyes is an internationally recognized Reiki master teacher who has worked with surgeons and other health professionals for many years. She's the author of the award-winning book, The Healing Power of Reiki, and was named Best Reiki Master in New York by New York Magazine. She's also the founder of Medical Reiki International. Her website is RavenKeysMedicalReiki.com, and she joins me this week to share her path and her new book, Medical Reiki, a groundbreaking approach to using energy medicine for challenging treatments. Please welcome to Vox Novus, my friend, my teacher, Raven Keyes. Welcome, Raven.
Oh, thank you, Victor. I'm so happy to be with you today.
And it's so wonderful to have you with us. You know, we had the wonderful synchronicity of meeting in 2020 through our mutual friend, Llewellyn publicist Kat Neff. At the time, Kat shared that she was about to take your medical Reiki class, and it so resonated with me that I immediately signed up and had the joy of meeting you and learning your technique. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Our tribe is quite extraordinary, and I'm so happy that you're part of it.
Thank you. Please share with our listeners your path before Reiki came into your life.
Well, I was a Buddhist for about 18 years and chanted every day. And then I broke away from that. The backdrop of all of that was that I was an actor. I was an actor for a very long time, and that's how I earned my living. And then the way that I met Reiki was through my yoga teacher, who I was taking private yoga classes, and she came to my home and said, "Well, Raven, you're way too tired to take yoga today. So I'm just going to give you Reiki," because she had studied Reiki over the weekend. So the minute that she touched me, I felt like, this is amazing. I mean, I didn't know what it was. I never heard of it. It was just overwhelming how amazing it made me feel. I felt just tremendous energy running through me in this bliss. And I thought, I need to know how to do this. I want to give this to other people. And as you know, Victor, when Reiki comes into your life and it touches you, everything changes. And as it came to pass, I found the perfect teacher, but I really don't know whether I found her or she found me, because I ended up being contacted through snail mail in like 1995 by this person that I never met or I never heard of or anything. But all of a sudden I had noticed that she was coming to New York and was teaching Reiki. So I signed up with her, and then I was still an actor, but very soon after I became a Reiki master, I got a job working doing Reiki. It was 1996 now, because I became a Reiki master in November of 1995. So early 1996, I was hired by Equinox Fitness to do Reiki in one of their spas. And then one thing led to another, and everything shifted. I suddenly was out of my acting career and just was teaching Reiki and giving Reiki sessions at Equinox. I suddenly had a private practice, and I was asked to teach meditation at Equinox, which actually was the way that I ended up in the operating room, was through a student that I met in a meditation class at Equinox Fitness.
It is amazing to me, but not surprising, the synchronicities in our paths, because Reiki came to me through my yoga teacher at the time, not because of a treatment, but because we were on a retreat together up at a Zen monastery in Livingston Manor, New York, and another dear friend of ours said the word Reiki, and I had never heard it consciously before, but something about it resonated. This was in October of that year, and then we said, oh, that's something we'll look at next year, and within 2 weeks after that retreat, my teacher, myself, and some others were together in our first Reiki class together, and that was 1994. So the synchronicity of our paths is absolutely wonderful and amazing. And I believe that there are no coincidences or accidents. Everything happens according to a plan, and we were part of that plan. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, thank you, Victor. I feel like we come into this life and we have coordinates already built into us. And we don't really consciously know what they are, but there's no avoiding it. It's just like, this is going to happen for you. And so it does. Like, I really feel like we came here to really offer gifts, whatever gifts we have, to the world. And if we don't do it, the world will never have them, because we're all so unique. So we're blessed if we can be aware of what the coordinates are that our soul was born with.
Absolutely. And there are those who will go on a path and they'll have people come to them and introduce things. And they have a choice at that point. They can choose to pursue that or let it go, depending upon whether it resonates with them or not. And my experience has been, when something has been presented to me, I grab onto it and I run with it, and it's changed my life. And I think that's the same for you.
Yes. We just keep saying yes, even if we feel like we can't do it.
Absolutely.
And just saying yes has brought me to where I am right now with this global community of medical Reiki masters that I've trained. It's only from saying yes without any idea of how it could possibly happen.
Absolutely.
In the beginning.
Absolutely. For the few listeners who've heard about Reiki but may not be familiar with the practice, please share a little of the history.
Well, Reiki began with a man named Makeo Yusui, who was a Buddhist monk, and he was on a quest. He wanted to find out why he was born. Why was he on earth? It's the eternal question that we many of us have, like, what am I doing here? And so there are different variations of the history of Reiki. Scholars have studied a memorial stone of his that was placed upon his death, and it has clues in it, but the real history, a lot of it is not really known because things weren't really written down. But it was in the 1920s that he attained this enlightenment that he was seeking, and it happened on a mountain close to Kyoto. And he went up on this mountain, and for 21 days he did a fast. And he had stones, so he would know what day it was. And so on the 21st day, before the dawn came, he tossed the last stone. And then this light came out of the east and was so bright that he felt that he was probably going to die when the thing struck him. And he could have run away, like you were saying before, Victor. Are you going to stay or are you going to go? And he said, well, you know, it's like, I've been looking for this for a long time now. Some people say 28 years, but I'm not sure about that. That's one of the facts that's sort of impossible, possibly yes, possibly no. But nevertheless, the light came and struck him, and he was filled with this bliss and realized that the power that he was experiencing was a healing force. And so the long and the short of it is he eventually, not that long after that, really, but he started the healing practice and he named it Reiki, which is a Japanese word. It's very generic. It means energy that's in everything. Well, at that time, he could have started a religion, but he felt that this was so far beyond a religious anything that he did not do that. And so Reiki is not a religion. It's spiritual energy from the universe that heals. So as practitioners, what we're doing is we study Reiki. We study some of the history. We study the precepts. We study lots of things. We study how to do the hand positions. But the main thing that really sets us apart from other healers is that we receive these attunements. And these attunements connect us to the experience that Mikeo Usui had on that mountaintop. We inherit that same kind of enlightenment in that we have pathways cleared within us that make it possible for us to be the hollow bone. That's a shamanic term, but it's like we become the hollow bone. Our only job is to be hollow and allow the energy to come through us and out our hands. And it's intelligent healing light. So it knows what to do. And so we don't need to know anything about anatomy, about medicine. We don't need to know anything. What we do is we are the delivery system. It's like I work with doctors. So, you know, I describe myself as like the hypodermic needle, this bringing the energy for healing into doctors' patients. And it's profound what it does in medicine.
Absolutely. Now, prior to Reiki, what were some of the other forms of spiritual and energy healing that the world knew about?
Well, they knew. We're slowly beginning to find out about yoga. Like yoga really took off. Acupuncture became popular before Reiki was really known about. But those things came slowly also. Acupuncture, yoga, massage, those kinds of things they're recognized by the NIH, National Institute of Health, and insurance pays for some of those modalities. Tai Chi, to some degree. When I was working with Dr. Oz, he was very interested in Tai Chi and the energy that he wanted to be able to measure the energy coming out of the hands of Tai Chi masters and Reiki masters and see if there was any comparison. But the thing is, how do you do that? How do you measure energy? It's a conundrum. But anyway, getting back to what you're asking, I think that energy's has always been on the planet. In the ancient times, our ancestors understood about energy completely, and they used it for healing. But as we evolved, if that's what you want to call what we've done, we've disconnected from the energy of the earth and the energy in nature, the energy in plants. I mean, shamans in the ancient times really knew how to heal people with the energy in plants, and they were capable, and some still are able to do this today in indigenous cultures. They know how to speak to the plants, and they know how to ask, "Are you the plant for my client?" And the plant will speak to them and tell the shaman how to use the energy that they hold within them. How do they release it? Do they sing a song? Do they make a tincture? Do they make tea out of it? And what is the sound signature as well? And I feel like within our practice now as medical Reiki masters, what is the sound signature that we are actually operating under or with? What is the sound signature? And I think I may have said this in our class together, Victor, but it was revealed to me that the word heal is a sound signature, and it's actually a formula. H heal, H equals energy of absolute light, which actually in a way equates to E equals MC squared, because energy and matter are together and the c squared is light time, the speed of light times itself, which is really infinity. So H equals energy of absolute light is like the manifestation of E equals MC squared. It's kind of complicated, but I've also been told that the Reiki symbols are the direct use of E equals MC squared, because we bring down energy out of the universe and then we spread it through these symbols. Using these symbols that we're attuned to and equipped to use, we're spreading the energy in matter, the body, and it can never be any other way. It has to be like that. The symbol for emotional and mental, it's like, well, mental comes first and mental creates emotions. So it's the place where we're connected to the consciousness of the universe. So it's really pretty profound energy medicine, Reiki. And the wonderful thing about it is that it's instant. You don't have to go into a meditation. You don't have to be in a serene state. You just rub your hands together and you think Reiki, and there it is, it's coming. And for us to work in medicine, it's profoundly powerful because we don't need anything. We don't have any equipment. We don't have anything. It's just, we show up and we are Reiki. We bring Reiki into an operating room, and that's that. And it affects everything and everybody that's in there. I think I got a little off course.
No, that's wonderful. And a couple of points to your points. For those who are not aware, qi in Tai Chi is the Chinese word for energy, and qi in Japanese is also energy. So qi and qi are virtually the same thing, two different languages for the same exact thing. And you talked about E equals MC squared. Well, recently, the last couple of years, quantum physicists have discovered that the human body produces photons. What are photons? They're light. And the more we engage our frequency, the more light we produce. So it's all connected.
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, in every cell, in the center of every cell, there's light. And then what happens, like the light gets dim because of stress and this and that, and like dis-ease, illness, makes the light weaker. So that's like the main thing that we are doing is restoring the light to the cells. And then the body goes into a relaxed state also, because Reiki activates the parasympathetic nervous system. And that means that the body goes into rest and restore, and it remembers how to heal itself. It cannot do that when it's in the sympathetic state, because that means cortisol and adrenaline are running through the system and there can be no healing in that situation, which is why doctors really have to come to understand how much we can help them make their work so much easier and their results so much better. And that's what Dr. Feldman, Dr. Sheldon Mark Feldman, whom I've been working with for the past more than 10 years now. He's an internationally revered breast cancer surgeon, and he is so down for Reiki because he has seen what it has done for his patients. So we are changing everything. Dr. Feldman and myself, it's one of those synchronicity moments in reality and time space. Our meeting, I believe, was divinely guided, and it has changed everything to the point now where Dr. Feldman is revered as a doctor who represents Reiki in medicine, to the point where he's been invited to speak in Japan next year at a celebration of Mikeo Usui's life and his creation of Reiki. And Dr. Feldman has been invited to speak at that event with all these luminaries from the Reiki world and the Japanese heads of Reiki. It's phenomenal, really phenomenal.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about your work with Dr. Feldman in the next segment. My guest is Raven Key. She's the author of the new book, Medical Reiki, A Groundbreaking Approach to Using Energy Medicine for Challenging Treatments. Raven, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you and your amazing work.
You can get my book from Llewellyn. which is the publisher, and on Amazon. And if you Amazon.com or Amazon.uk, Amazon in Canada, it's on all those sites right now. And and if you want to find out more about me, my website is ravenkeysmedicalreiki.com.
And they can also find out about medical Reiki training on that website.
Yes, you can find out about, and it's for Reiki masters only that have been trained in person.
And we'll be back with more of Raven after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
The COVID-19 vaccines are starting to become available across the country. And as they become available, you may be asking yourself, should I get it? Will it help me get back to doing the things I love? Like going out to my favorite restaurants, meeting with friends in person, or going on vacation and traveling again? And can I do it all without putting my family and those I love at risk? And is it safe? You've got questions, that's normal, which is why it's so important to get informed. The medical community has made it clear. The vaccines authorized for COVID-19 have met the highest safety standards and can help protect us. Visit getvaccineanswers.org for all the latest information on the COVID-19 vaccines. That's getvaccineanswers.org. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. It's up to you. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and the CDC.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Back on Vox Novus, my guest this week, Raven Key. She's the author of Medical Reiki, a groundbreaking approach to using energy medicine for challenging treatments. What have your studies and research shown you about the connection between physical illness and stress and other forms of emotional imbalance?
Well, stress and emotional imbalance are totally connected to disease, illness, physical manifest. The teaching of Makeo Usui originally stated that all illness comes in on the spiritual level first. And if it's not addressed, it makes its way down to the physical. And so, well, you know, what does that mean exactly? Spiritual, the spiritual body, taking in this thing that's going to manifest in your body. The spirit is affected by emotions. It's affected by mental mental stress. It can't help it. It's like because of the makeup of a human being, our bodies really, really react to the stress. And in today's world, it's relentless. There, the news cycles, the pandemic, what's going on in the world has become very small. In a way, we know what's going on in other countries, and it seems like the media focuses on all the negative. So we're aware of how many people are dying and what's happening, and like in recent times with all of the fires and the weather conditions that are creating all these events that affect people. So negatively, floods, this, that. We're just overwhelmed with seeing all these things. And the human body is hardwired from the time of long, long, long ago when it was really imperative that you know that you have to run away from a tiger that's like, you know, gonna eat you, whatever. Like back in those days, that's how we're hardwired to run. And so in our makeup, the brain doesn't know the difference between a tiger chasing you, something you have to really run away from, or stress. It registers, stress registers as threat. And so all these toxic chemicals, the cortisol and the adrenaline are continuously being released into the system. And it becomes toxic and it weakens the body. The body has no chance to really heal itself. People aren't sleeping at night. When that happens, all these sleepless people, the cortisol never stops. If you can't sleep, you wake up in the morning and cortisol is like really present. If you ever did go to sleep, even, you know, if you only got a few hours of sleep, this is scientifically proven. My sister was a phlebotomist and she said, you know, and people didn't get enough sleep and they came in for a test in the morning, their cortisol levels were off the charts. And what are you going to do? And then the emotional issues, like there's so much trauma and a lot of the news causes trauma. It was proven that after 9/11, the whole world had trauma because of what everybody had seen on TV, the people jumping out of the building, all the things crashing in this. And to this day, the people who have suffered from that kind of emotional trauma are still being studied and looked at to see how much trauma they still are experiencing. And trauma leads to illness. It just does. There's a weakening in the life force from trauma, which is emotional, and trauma can come out of nowhere. It's just kind of like unbelievable how something can like come into your life unexpectedly, and then you have to suffer the consequences. So Reiki really addresses these things in that whatever's stuck in your body, the vibration of Reiki is so high, it's pure, unconditional love. The creative force of the universe is love, not as an emotion, but as the connective tissue that is in everything. And so the vibration of it is so high that if there's something stuck in you that is created by stress, then it comes out. Like people cry on the table. They don't know why they're crying sometimes, but there are things that are stuck in the body that are being released. And it's quite profound. Did that kind of answer the question?
Absolutely. And if we look at the word disease, it is dis-ease, taking away our sense of ease, our sense of peace, our sense of security. So that exactly answers what you're talking about. What did you discover through your practice that gave you the impetus to approach working with medical doctors?
Well, like all of us, when we work with our clients, we realize how much benefit they're getting from Reiki. The peace and the serenity, the feelings of hopefulness, recognizing changes that one wants to make in their life. It goes on and on, really. It's deep. And some of it is physical, like people have miraculous healings sometimes. I mean, we can never promise anything because we don't know what Reiki is going to do to a human being or to an animal or to a plant or to anything that we apply Reiki to. It has a destiny, and it can release the destiny that's in someone, their coordinates, the what they're supposed to do that they've forgotten about in all of life. I mean, it's been amazing. As far as working in medicine goes, I had no intention of ever working in medicine. I never even considered it, not once, because I don't like hospitals and I'm squeamish. I hate the sight of blood. And a lot of people that I love died in hospitals. It was not my... And I had a traumatic experience when I was a child in a hospital, and I never even considered it. But then I had a client who was somebody that I met at a meditation class at Equinox Fitness, and she became my client, and we were together working. And, you know, she was getting so many blessings, releasing all these things from her past. For like a year, I would see her every now and then. And then suddenly she was going to have open heart surgery. And she was interviewing surgeons, as we can do in the United States. And she was about to interview Dr. Oz. And so she had seen an article in the New York Times stating that he allowed healers in his operating room. So she came to me for Reiki and asked me, would I go with her? I said, no. I said, absolutely not. I cannot do that, Susanna. There's no way I can do it. I'm just, no. But then during the session, the Archangel Gabriel, who's been my guide since I was a child, only I didn't realize it right away. It took me to grow up and then realize it. But nevertheless, Gabriel came and said, you have to say yes to her and give her your resume. And I thought that, you know, I must be making that part up because I had just written my resume the day before. But anyway, at the end, I said I would go if Dr. Oz said it was okay. And I gave her my resume, just following directions. And so the next day, I was teaching a meditation class at 63rd and Lex. And afterward, there was a doctor of anesthesia in my class. So afterward, I asked him, I said, you know, I have a client. She wants me to go to open heart surgery with her, with Oz. What do you think? He said, no, it's not going to happen. That's not done. And not 5 minutes later, Susanna called. She was ecstatic in Dr. Oz's office and said, he said yes. And all he wanted was my resume, and she had it in her pocketbook. So then I had like a week to get ready, and it was I had Reiki performed on me, and I was given a sword by Gabriel and told that angels were going to come and not to worry. And that's where it all started. It started there. And then one thing led to another. I was asked by Oz to join his research team, and just all these things started happening. And the real impetus for me to continue was the patience of the doctors. You know, it's like, gosh, it's like facing these surgeries that are so serious. It's terrifying. And when I looked in the eyes of people that really I knew I could help them, I had to do it. I just felt like I had to keep going, no matter how intimidated I felt.
And you've worked alongside surgeons in operating rooms for almost 20 years. That's so wonderful. What were some of your other experiences early on with doctors and patients?
I had so many women tell me how grateful they were that I was there. I got an email once from a woman on the 1 year anniversary. This is coming into my mind right now. She said that she felt like when she looked back on our day in the operating room, she considered it to be a holy day, a holy day. Imagine that. I mean, this woman had her children were grown boys, and it came to me, everybody was so freaked out about what was going to happen for her. And so it came to pass that I was guided to have a ceremony for her. And I thought she would only want to have her husband there, but she said, no, she wanted her sons there. So we had a ceremony for everybody to say goodbye to her breasts. And her sons were weeping and thanking their mothers for feeding them when they were little boys and everything. But then, like I said, a year later, she sent me that email saying that she felt that that day was a holy day for her. I had so many women who are afraid, they had little children. They were so grateful for the transformation they felt within themselves. One thing that's been profound is how the hope is there. The Reiki seems to shift despair into hope and positive feelings. And one thing that has been really important to do is to do this thing that we call hold space for someone. That means, you know, they can cry, they can like wail and say everything that's in their heart without you trying to fix anything. Like, that's what I do. I don't try to fix anything. I don't say anything. I don't, you know, it's not my place to say anything. I mean, I just hold space for them. And if you ever really have had a time in your life where you're just weeping and crying, you don't want anybody to fix it. It stops the doubt, the release of what you're letting go of. You can't have anybody tell you, oh, that's okay, it's going to be all right. No, that's not what you need right then. And so I've had those kinds of experiences with clients, which are doctors' patients. And then doctors are, you know, that surgeons are a unique brand of individuals on planet Earth. The thing is, in medical school, they're trained. They have to be the genius all the time. They have to be the one that's in charge. They can't show their despair, even though working as a doctor, as a surgeon, that means that you are really in a place where you are so susceptible to secondary trauma, and burnout from all the things that go on around you. And I've had Dr. Feldman say to me that during surgery, he could feel the Reiki in his hands. I'll say that for him, but he won't say that to you. But I'll say that to you, that he will say that he does, but it's kind of a place for a surgeon to go to say something like that. I mean,
absolutely. And Dr. Feldman wrote the foreword to your new book, Medical Reiki. How did you meet him and begin working with him?
I had a client. Actually, I had a student that I trained to be a Reiki master, and she was a yoga teacher, and she still is. But anyway, she had a colleague who's also a yoga teacher who suddenly was having breast cancer surgery. And my student sent that yoga teacher to me. So she asked Dr. Feldman if I could go into surgery with her. And he knew, he and Dr. Oz are friends, and he knew that I had been working with Oz. And so then he agreed. And then he called me before the surgery even happened and asked me if I'd be willing to continue working with him after that. That's why I say it's almost like he was waiting for me to show up on some level. And everything went really well. And he was really very happy with how things went. And it was just like that began everything. And that was in 2010. And we're still like working with each other in very intense ways. And now we're about to do a research project for which Medical Reiki Works, which is a not-for-profit that Dr. Feldman and I started. We co-founded it, and that has raised all the money to do a research project now. And all we're waiting for now is for COVID to end. But imagine that. I mean, it had this research is so important, and the protocol has been, it's vast. I mean, the protocol for this research contains all the research that was ever done on Reiki. It's part of what's being presented as the reason why we need to do this research project, because everything has to be submitted to a hospital board called the IRB. And anyway, because it's understood what all the pitfalls have been in the research up until now, and the places that don't really receive the reverence that is necessary for us to actually get the big dollars from the National Institute of Health, it's being done meticulously and rigorously, and it will be phenomenal when it's done.
That is absolutely wonderful. She's my friend. She's my teacher, Raven Keyes. Her new book, Medical Reiki. We'll be back with more of Raven after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Our country feels divided, but there's a place where people with different political views and life experiences are coming together through the power of conversation, and it feels good. Hear more at lovehasnolabels.com/onesmallstep. A message from StoryCorps, Love Has No Labels, and the Ad Council.
Back on Vox Nobis, my guest this week is my friend, my teacher, Raven Keyes. She's the author of Medical Reiki, a groundbreaking approach to using energy medicine for challenging treatments. So, Raven, what exactly is, for our listeners who don't know, what is medical Reiki?
It's regular Reiki, but used in operating rooms and in other venues. So there's a specific training. I don't train anybody in Reiki. The people who take medical Reiki are already trained in Reiki, and they are Reiki masters. Some of them are Reiki master teachers, but it's not necessary to be a teacher to become a medical Reiki master. There's specific protocol taught, best practices, gold standards, and how to work in an operating room in particular. Because that's a very high stress, hardcore environment. And for whatever reason, my coordinates that I was born with was that I was going to be the one that was going to find out all this information. I don't know why I ended up finding out all this information, meaning that I was asked by these surgeons to work with their patients so many times that now I was able to create a protocol for how to work in surgery. It's not easy. It's not an easy place to be. And it's very, very important to know what might happen and what you are absolutely going to be subjected to that you can't avoid. It's part of the experience. And what's really interesting about it is that there have been people that have taken the training that have realized, I don't want to go in the operating room based on what I just found out, but I'm going to use this for something else like hospice or to work with children or, you know, chemotherapy, something, anything, but not to go in the operating room. Also, people who have taken the training have then had to have surgery and they were not frightened when certain things happened because they realized that it was all normal, like what was happening to them was just normal. And so what we're doing really is we're holding space for this person to go through this experience and know that they're taken care of. Because if you have to go and get a surgery without a medical Reiki master, you're pretty much on your own in there. All these people have a very serious job to do, and they have no time for you, the human being. It's like you are like a thing that they have to deal with right now. And there's nobody there to take care of you at all. Anesthesia is maybe the one person in the room that has any awareness of what's going on with you at all, because they're keeping you alive. They're making sure that you're unconscious during the surgery so that you're not conscious of any pain, even if your body is feeling pain. They know that too. If certain things happen on the monitors, they know that your body's in pain. So they shoot something into the IV that's running all these drugs through you, and to remove the pain. They put painkillers in, even though you're not aware of it. That person who's doing anesthesia has more of an awareness of what's going on with you, so to speak. But in my book, there is an anesthesia doctor who is a medical Reiki master who I interviewed for my book, and she says, when she's doing her job, she's a medical Reiki master, but she has no time to deliver Reiki while she's doing that job. Everybody's very busy, very busy. And to have a medical Reiki master, the patient is receiving blessings that are beyond imagination because they have somebody there that they know is there for them. And this can really have a profound effect on the outcome. You know, there's a terror. We all know how much sorrow we experience when we feel like we're alone in something that's happening to us. And it's just a wonderful thing when we find out that we're not alone going through it. And it's just a healing that we bring with us, our mere presence and the fact that we are Reiki. We carry that. That's what we are. We're that energy. And the divinity is within us. And it's a comfort to the patient, of this doctor, to everybody in the room. The Reiki affects all the instruments that the doctors are using, the anesthesia, and we clear the room. We have angels are everywhere. That's what medical Reiki is. It's about delivering all this work that we are equipped to do and attuned to do into medical environments.
In medical Reiki, you share the findings of the Cleveland Clinic of the benefits of Reiki. What are some of those benefits?
They've noticed that there's great pain relief with Reiki. People are calm. They know that the parasympathetic nervous system is activated. They've used it for different things like Parkinson's disease. It seems to really help with that and with all different kinds of surgeries, and healing is accelerated. They've noticed all these things. Many, many hospitals have noticed the things that Reiki can actually produce for the patients. But in order for this to really move forward, there has to be research. We've gotten to a place now in medicine where everything has to be scientifically proven. But as Dr. Feldman says in the foreword to Medical Reiki, he says, if we have to prove everything that we know is valuable for our patients, it can prevent us from actually giving them things that can help them. And so we're at this place right now where there's a body of information, like anecdotal noticings of high-level medical institutions, where they say, yes, we see these things, but they're not proven scientifically. So we are limited so far in what we've been able to do. And I totally believe that I know what I'm doing is creating a profession that never existed before, but it needs to exist. And people who are bringing these kinds of gifts to a patient need to be paid. There's something that happens mystically when there's that kind of exchange of energy, when the society itself, the medical world, recognizes that what we do is valuable, and so valuable that we get paid for what I do. There's some kind of thing that happens in the universe.
Absolutely. There has to be an exchange of energy. If you're giving energy, there has to be some type of return. That's just the nature of the universe.
Yes. And as far as medicine goes, you know, there's something big that will transpire that will make what we do part of standard operating procedure. Like, we will become part of conventional medicine in the moment when it's accepted that what we do is valuable because it's been proven scientifically. And now the medical Reiki masters are paid by insurance. Do you know what I mean? It's like bigger than just between the patient and the practitioner. It's big. It becomes a big universal thing. Like, okay, now divinity is entering medicine again. It's like a return to what always used to be, a return to the truth of the fact that our ancestors always considered healing to be a gift from spirit. It was a spiritual blessing. And that has been so devoid of medicine up until now. Who thinks about that? Well, Dr. Feldman.
Absolutely.
That's who thinks about it that I know of. And last week, I taught medical Reiki. We had our very first surgeon take the medical Reiki training. She became a Reiki master. She's Japanese, but you know, so she had like an awareness about energy. And so she became a Reiki master. She met the right person. You know how it goes, Victor.
Absolutely.
No coincidence. But she actually went to medical school at Einstein, which is where Dr. Feldman teaches. She didn't have him as a teacher because she was there before he was there. But she lived in the Bronx for 5 years. And now the two of them are in conversation about how can she get medical Reiki masters into surgery in her hospital in California.
That's absolutely wonderful. And what you've brought to the world, this gift that you've brought to the world, to medicine, is absolutely wonderful. And it's my fervent prayer and hope that it opens the doors for medical Reiki masters to assist in hospitals and to be there and give their loving presence to the patients in the operating room.
Yes, that's the prayer.
That's the prayer. My guest, Raven Keyes, she's the author of Medical Reiki, a groundbreaking approach to using energy medicine for challenging treatments. Raven, one more time, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you and all this amazing work.
Well, you can get my book from Llewellyn. They have it on their website. It's actually available for pre-order right now because it's not coming out till May 8th, but it's available on Amazon.com. If you just type in Medical Reiki, there is no other book on Medical Reiki. This is the book on Medical Reiki because I, for whatever reason, my coordinates and spirit entrusted me with this whole mission to bring this into the world. So I'm the only Reiki master on planet Earth who's done Reiki in operating rooms for all these years, all these surgeries. So I'm the authority, I humbly say. So Medical Reiki is my book and it has a longer title, but
And the website?
My website is RavenKeysMedicalReiki.com. And on that website, you can find out all about it. And you can also find out how to sign up to become a Medical Reiki Master if you're a Reiki Master.
Raven, thank you so much for joining us and sharing this wonderful, wonderful work.
Thank you so much, Victor. Thank you very, very much for the opportunity. May we all be blessed. Reiki blessings.
And thank you for joining us on Vox Novus. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.